Season grew up as a Navy kid, living in six different places before she started kindergarten. The youngest of four, Season tried to be the good kid in order to gain love and acceptance. Finding that didn't work, she went to the other extreme, finally hitting rock bottom in a world swirling in drugs and alcohol. Then something incredible happened that changed her life forever. You don't want to miss this exciting episode of Revival for Mission right now. Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. Pastor Wilson, throughout history, people have experienced such tremendous change, and God calls them to an adventure. And every film talks about a change in adventure. But transformed life seems to be what God does time and again. From the famous Apostle Paul, who was Saul before and was killing Christians, and in one moment, Jesus appeared to him, and after that, his life was transformed. You've seen this throughout your life, too. People that meet Jesus and they're no longer the same forever. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, who can explain the supernatural power that reaches into a life and completely changes it so the one who is a drunkard becomes sober? The one who is super selfish becomes the most generous benefactor? The person who is so angry becomes a peacemaker. That is only the power of God. You can't explain it any other way. There's not some psychological explanation for a complete transformation. In Scripture, it tells us about it. I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it's a beautiful verse. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And that's the experience that you see when people are changed.
And is that available to anyone, or is that just for some special people?
It's available to absolutely anyone. Listen now as God blesses us through this music.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you unexpected end.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
Higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than you. earth falls, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts.
Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. I'm here with a very special guest today, Susan Cromwell. She's also part of Hope Channel, so you may have seen her in other programs, especially Let's Pray. But today we're going to talk about her story and the wonderful things that God did in her life. Susan, you grew up in as a Navy kid,
yes,
moving all the time. For people that have no idea the difference between a military family and a non-military family, tell us what it was like growing up in the Navy.
You know, I think that I'm quite honored to be a Navy kid, but with any type of growing up, there's positives and there are negatives. Some of the positive things were getting to see different things in different cultures, going even within the continental United States. I lived in Guam a bit as a child. All six places before kindergarten, all in all.
Hold on a minute.
Six places. Right. So I think maybe missionary children could understand a little bit as well. But I really loved learning and seeing things that didn't look like my family. Do you know? But at the same time, I also did not learn how to build those long-term rooted friendships. And I think that if we fast forward later in life, you can see how relationship with Jesus and other people, that can be somewhat difficult when you're not sure even how to do that, how to make those kinds of bonds with others. And so it was difficult. New kid at school, I'm sure, with a name like Susan.
Which is your favorite season? I'm sure you get asked that all the time.
Autumn is my favorite season right now.
Okay.
Absolutely, yes. And I do, and I have it on the ready every time. Autumn. I really feel like the Lord blessed me with positive and negatives. My close-knit family was a great thing growing up, so we did rely on each other heavily because of the fact that we moved around so much, probably every 4 years after the six different places in kindergarten. So
it is notorious that when military kids get to be teenagers, the rebellious spirit takes on other dimensions. What happened to you?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sitting here for a reason, and truth be told, the things that occurred to me as a child there, I am a survivor of sexual abuse. I believe there was some emotional abuse as well, and a severe amount of bullying. I, instead of going quite wild, I actually became quite a performer. I wanted to be nice, to look nice, to act nice. I wanted to do good so that I would be loved well. So I did honor roll, captain of the cheerleading squad. I was a youth leader in my church. We did grow up going to church on Sunday. And so I had a familiarity with the Lord and with the good things. I just didn't have it in deep in my heart. There was so much wounding that needed to be dealt with. And so as I graduated from high school, having been a good girl, the Lord wanted to begin to deal with those things. And I probably could not have shouted louder, not a chance, get away from me. Because I was terrified of what looking at those wounds and feeling those things would do to me. I was certain it would destroy me and it would overwhelm me, and I could not. I just couldn't.
And what happened?
I started drinking. The drinking was my favorite. I thought I was addicted to narcotics later on, but they said, no, alcohol is your primary. And I think it had something to do with that social anxiety from being bullied and that relationship issues that I'd had. And so I drank. And it gave me a little bit of more calm to be around other people. And then drinking led to staying up all night doing coke, weed, acid, mushrooms, ecstasy, going out to the clubs, all over the place. Just whatever I could do to keep moving, to try to stay happy, to try to avoid any of those feelings, I was in it. And I did everything I could desperately to avoid having to feel that pain.
So you're in a spiral of destruction. How did God rescue you from that?
What was the turning point?
Yeah. I got to tell you, do you know King Nebuchadnezzar, how he started eating grass?
Yeah.
Jesus, our loving, merciful Jesus, Amen. Will let you go crazy. He will let you continue to choose yourself right into a pit. because he allows choice. So my choice is out of wounding and out of fear and pain. He knew that if I could go far enough where I was delusional, dangerous, hearing voices, seeing things, I was incredibly hateful and angry. I was not somebody you wanted to be around. I was not friendly. And at that point, the crazy had become so severe that I knew I was a danger to myself or to people around me. So I had to choose life, or by default, I knew I was choosing death. And so I sobbed in my mother's lap because I wasn't allowed on their property unless I had a drug test. Which I think is important for families to hear. There is a point to say no. And so in this, I sobbed in her lap. I said, I can't get out. She said, run to Jesus. And I said, he's going to have to come get me. And our Jesus does exactly that, doesn't he?
Amen.
He came and got me in a mighty way. And at this same time, I began to get a little bit of counseling, and the word of God in that counseling applied through prayer. Praise Jesus for his word.
Amen.
It is life. I mean, it's sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. To bring ourselves through prayer into alignment with the word of God, there is nothing more powerful. I praise Jesus for his word. So during this time, this began to happen. I also ran into, in a strange way, a friend that I had met when I was, I think, a more sober time, but not all the way sober. I'd met somebody who was a Seventh-day Adventist, and I did not know anything about them. And he and I were friends, and I met other people through him, one of them being my friend Brian Reed. He is now a chaplain in Australia. He's just a stand-up guy. I praise Jesus for him and the friends that we had. But the Lord showed me his phone number. I reached out. I called him. He said, sure, we can get together and talk. They had treated me so kindly. And even when I was not sober, one day I received a birthday card. They remembered my birthday. I think that they knew, and maybe Jesus had told them I needed some encouragement. But I circled back to Brian and said, can we meet? After hanging out and talking, of course, I wanted to put on that I was doing better than I was. He said, how long have you really been sober, Season? I said, 2 weeks. He said, you know what? Why don't you come help with the kids at the church? But you're going to let me around children?
This was a Seventh-day Adventist church?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And then there was also a prophecy seminar going on, which became my rehab.
Amen.
I'd been to intensive outpatient programs. I had the tools, but I needed Jesus. Here's the thing about getting sober and drugs and everything else that ails us in life. Whatever we choose that's not immediately pivoting to Christ isn't going to last. So I can focus on not doing drugs, not doing methamphetamine, which was my final choice, my drug of choice. I can focus on all of those things as much as I'd like to not do that. But as my friend Ted Furness says, Season, when you focus on Jesus Christ and you go after him as hard as you can, all of that falls away.
Amen.
You are naturally not going to be doing those things. Sometimes it's a deliverance, a straight pulling out. Sometimes you have to walk that out with Christ. Whatever it is, it's either going to begin the process or the Lord is going to straight deliver you. But whatever that process is, each one of us has a different process, okay?
Seek first the kingdom of God.
And his righteousness.
And his righteousness.
Yeah. And all these things will be added unto you. Who knew the Bible was so relevant?
Yes.
Amen? I mean, God is so good. There is nothing he can't heal, nowhere he can't save you from. I don't hear voices anymore. I know it's scary for people to hear, wow, she used to hear, you know, hear voices. Oh, I heard many things. But God healed my mind.
Amen.
And you describe Jesus running to you, but in reality, that looked like some friends calling you.
Yeah.
So when Jesus is going to call you, somebody will have to reach out for their phone. And there is a very real thing about being involved in God's plans. And I think this is a solemn calling to be the body of Christ as the...
Indeed.
As the Bible describes his church, which means that if God is going to have an impact in someone's life, for some reason, he chooses us to do it. And if you're listening at home to this and God is calling you to reach out to somebody that has gone too far or that needs Christ, don't delay. Jesus wants to reach them and he wants to reach them through you. And Season, today you bring a blessing to thousands of people every week as you pray for them, as people connect with you to pray for their troubles. How does your story, how does your experience impact what you do from week to week as you believe in prayer and you pray for others?
And let me just interject as well. I believe you became a Bible worker.
I did.
Someone who helped other people find Christ in the Bible. And how does that now impact the kind of wonderful outreach you're doing to help people to connect with the Lord in prayer?
Praise Jesus. Listen, there are varying levels of reaching out. When you're a Bible worker, you can go to a home that seems well-to-do, or you can go to a home that's full of drugs and alcohol, which I did many times. I can pray for one of our younger members of Let's Pray. She would like her grandma and grandpa to be blessed and to pass a test. And then we have someone who feels afflicted and oppressed by the enemy of our souls, the accuser. So all of these things really comes back to me feeling very strongly this one thing, that in the body of Christ, if we're going to bring the light of Jesus into the darkness, we have got to be stop being shocked by what we see in the darkness. Mm-hmm. Now, the members of this church that loved me back to life, as I say, the young adults and then the church at large, don't mistake me. They loved me, but there were people there who were not sure about me. It wasn't that everybody treated me so perfectly. It was the combination of having a group of people who loved me regardless, as well as a dogged determination given by our Lord to pursue him and not let the enemy deter me. So in this, I didn't need people who knew what it was like to use drugs. I needed people to show me something different. Mm-hmm. And so many of our body in our churches that haven't experienced drugs and alcohol or these hard things think that they don't have something to offer when they have everything. Okay? I couldn't form sentences. I couldn't sit still. It was obvious I was struggling. They knew it. I was honest with them about it. Please hear me in the name of Jesus, those who need Jesus, please be honest about where you are so that the church can surround you. It was an incredibly conservative church. Often it is said that the conservative churches will not love you and surround you. It is not the truth. Give people a chance and trust Jesus in them. So circling back to the question, what is it that plays into all of it plays into it? When somebody says, I'm struggling with alcohol, praise God you're reaching out. There's no shame or judgment here. There is Christ is still the standard, but he's going to get you there. I don't have to judge you for it or try to force his process in your life. I'm going to lift you up and love you and trust that God is working it out and be a good example. So whether it's dealing with demons, whether it's passing a test, whether it's praying over cancer, Christ is the answer. And we have to be willing to press into the darkness to bring Christ's light and not be shocked by it in other people.
It's very interesting. I hadn't thought of it in these terms before. It's like, why are we shocked with the darkness? You know, I think we should be shocked with the light, because the world is in darkness. And wherever good we do see, whatever light there is, mm-hmm. it speaks to this transformation that God is going to do to the world. And the reason why your story is so inspiring, and there are thankfully thousands and perhaps millions of stories of people that Amen. Have experienced darkness, you know, more intimately than others. And they have suddenly been surrounded by light, and God brought them to light. I think the Apostle Paul says, you know, we were dead in our transgressions and sins, but you have been made alive in Christ.
Yes,
it's from death to light.
Yes.
And this experience is so powerful that we should not be surprised to the amount of darkness that there is.
Mm-hmm.
But we should Jesus was accused for this many times, wasn't he? That he was hanging out with sinners.
Right.
You know, you're hanging out with sinners. Well, that's where the light is mostly needed. So the thing about this is the love that people had for you.
Yes.
They loved you, and you could tell. Otherwise, there would be no transformation if there is no love.
Well, truly, and I people that come from where I came from or that have had a lot of struggle, we know when you're tolerating us. What's the difference?
Tell me more about that.
We know when you're tolerating us. You're loving us as long as we change to look like what you think we should. Now, praise Jesus, Christ is the standard. Do not get me wrong. I believe the end result is Christ-like character and behavior, but I believe that it comes from the inside, from a root-level transformation, and not demanding that others perform so that we're comfortable with that.
Do you think there is a fear, Susan, that if someone treated you, the fear often comes like this. Let me try and articulate it.
Yeah.
If I'm nice to you, you may interpret that I agree with your behavior. So I'm going to be very clear in my body language that I do not accept your behavior, and I'm going to do it by not accepting you. Do you think there is this idea to some people?
That's shame. You are not acceptable, not your behavior is not acceptable. And Jesus Christ is the one ultimately who is the best example of this because he died for us. He earned the right to speak into our lives.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
And so when we come alongside someone, there is good counsel and there is truth, okay? And it is okay to speak the truth to each other in the name of Jesus. But if the end result is that the person might hear, or maybe Jesus has shown you something about me, Susan, but it wasn't for you to say, it was for you to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that is how the Father is going to grow that new fruit and get rid of those old, ugly roots. Amen?
Yes.
I mean, and so there's this process where we are compelled, sometimes because of our own fear. And listen, family, I mean, I want my son to be safe when I'm in church. I know what I must have looked like to them. And I praise God that Jesus inspired those around me to love me anyway.
Amen.
If you're watching at home, there is a very high probability that either you are struggling or someone you know is struggling with some of the things that we talked about. In all of the difficult things that happened in 2020, there is a chance that this is happening. We're going to a break, but just after the break, Susan is going to talk about what are the next steps for you to help somebody that is going through this. Don't go away. Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. We're here with Susan, who's telling us the story of how God brought her from darkness to light.
Susan, your story is so compelling, and I just praise God for how he reached into your life and gave you an understanding of what he wanted you to do as it developed. And something that you said reminded me about a contemporary Christian song, Jesus is the answer to all my questionings. And obviously he led you to the Bible, to his truth. Now there are people who are watching who, as Pastor Sam has said, probably either they have problems or they know people have problems. What advice would you give to those who are really struggling to find answers and certainly answers in Jesus?
Amen. Well, if it's to the family members who are loving someone who is struggling, I would say combine the Word of God with prayer. It's incredibly powerful. Proclaim God's promises over their family member or their loved one and continue to do so regardless of what we see. Allow the Lord to develop your spiritual eyes, to believe what he says is the truth, even if we cannot see it just yet. Amen. But to combine the Word of God with a book called Boundaries. Especially if you're dealing with someone who is in drug and alcohol abuse.
Mm. Set limits, in other words.
Yes, but the kinds of limits that protect relationship and preserve love, and they're done in love. And I believe that there's very healthy counsel, and it is derived from the Word of God so that each would carry their own load. But we are to bear the burdens of one another and thus fulfill the law of Christ. The difference between those two things, what we are and are not responsible for, it could lighten your load and enable you to continue to press into the Lord without that exhaustion that comes from carrying these things in our flesh. Does that make sense? As far as a person who might be struggling with drugs, alcohol, relationships, depression, sadness, whatever that might be, I would say taste and see that the Lord is good. And
amen.
I don't mean that in a trite way.
Hmm.
I mean, step out and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to do this with you. Here is this scripture. Show me where to go. Bring a person into my life to help me to understand. Father, I am going to surrender myself to you in this moment. Show me who you are.
Amen.
Because he cannot fail. If you will admit your need for him, even if you're not sure, he hears those. I mean, that's the stuff that Jesus is there for. I would say lightens his heart, makes us, he delights in those things. Oh, my child said that they need me. I can work with that. How can he heal something we won't surrender to him? How can he heal something we cannot even confess? Confession and repentance are not about shame. It's about acknowledgement. They are separate issues. Jesus shows me something. I say, oh, I see that. Forgive me, Lord. Let's bring new life. Amen. And I keep walking. You don't have to feel horrible enough for him to then finally forgive you. Amen?
He's ready to forgive you, and he paid the price for it already.
Beautiful. So.
Amen.
Susan, thank you so much for joining us here at Revival for Mission. What a story, and I hope it will bring an inspiration to many. Elder Wilson, share some thoughts from the Word of God.
You know, friends, those of you who've been watching this magnificent testimony that Susan has given to us, a wonderful demonstration of what Jesus can do in a life when you are open to allowing him to change you so that you become more like what he wants you to be. And in fact, every single one of us, everyone on this earth has a potential because God knows what they ought to be and he wants to help us to get there. Our position, our opportunity, our demonstration is to allow him to do that. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 11, there's a magnificent promise. And that promise, and I know that Susan can identify with this, you can identify, I can identify, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Now, I don't know who's watching right now, but this is for you. Says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. What a magnificent promise to claim right now. Whatever situation you're in, Jesus does have the answer. Now, that may sound trite, but it isn't. It is real. God knows your heart, and he wants to give you a future full of hope. God be with you in a special way as you reflect on this magnificent testimony we've heard from Susan. We'll be with you again on Revival for Mission.